What's bugging stock market investors?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From 8 p.m. in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. The Dow fell 176 points yesterday, 1.1%. Japan's Nikkei fell 3.1% overnight. Although index futures for the U.S. are up a bit this morning, let's get an early dose of the psychology of market players. James Knightley is Senior International Economist at ING in London. Good morning, Mr. Knightley.
Morning.
A lot of things go into making share prices go up or down, but give it your best shot here. We had a lousy day on Wall Street yesterday. Japan was awful. Europe, not great this morning. Among the concerns are what, you think?
Well, I think, you know, we have to consider that 2013 was a great year for the equity market. I mean, the Dow Jones rose 3,000 points through the year. And the transition as we move into 2014, it's a little bit uncertain. Obviously, the labor report that we had most recently was somewhat disappointing. There's a little bit of concern perhaps about how the bad weather we've seen in the U.S. is going to impact the economic numbers as well. And the underlying story on both the U.S. and the global economy is one of strengthening fundamentals. But I think, you know, a bit of uncertainty at the start of the year is leading to a little bit of a pause for reflection, I think.
And if you're looking for uncertainty, some of it might be company profits. We're going to get some more earnings reports from, for instance, some U.S.-based banks today. And as the week wears on, it'll be nice to actually see how they do before making big decisions about which stocks you want to buy or sell.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think in general we'd be expecting some pretty good numbers. And that should, again, highlight the strengthening state of the financial system in the U.S. economy. And that's got to be good news for the long-term sustainability of the growth story, because it means that the banks are going to be in good positions to lend and to lend responsibly and safely as well. So I think what we're looking for is really confirmation of that the recovery story is continuing. And that may take another month or so. But in general, we'd be expecting the equity markets to continue to do pretty well through this year as well.
Speaking from London, James Knightley, Senior International Economist at ING. Mr. Knightley, thank you.
Thank you.
The multinational lending outfit that helps the world deal with financial crises has been left in a strange limbo this morning. There's been a lot of attention this morning to the $1 trillion bipartisan spending plan that the U.S. Congress has just put together, but that plan did not approve a new scheme for funding the International Monetary Fund. There's no plan B at the moment, and European countries are among those who say this leaves them holding the bag when it comes to feeding the IMF with capital. Google is spending $3.2 billion to buy Nest, the company that makes a thermostat for your house that connects to the internet and tries to save energy by lowering heat or AC when you don't need it. The stainless steel hockey puck-like device was designed by one of the folks who did the original iPod. Want to see Marketplace live? You can enter to win a chance to join us at the Norse Theater in San Francisco on January 28th as we discuss the new era of philanthropy. Details and rules at marketplace.org/trip. It's still not clear what will happen with 1.3 million people who lost their unemployment benefits about 2 weeks ago. The battle continues on Capitol Hill, and if Congress doesn't approve an extension, that number could grow to 5 million people by the end of this year. Our coverage of this is ongoing, and today Marketplace's David Weinberg brings us the story of Michelle Noriega.
It's close to midnight on a Tuesday at the Other Door, a bar in North Hollywood. And this is the moment Michelle Noriega has been waiting for. Her name has just been pulled out of a bucket.
Michelle Noriega, are you here?
Hi.
Tuesday is open mic night for aspiring stand-up comedians. Michelle opens with a joke about getting older. She's about to turn 39. And then moves on to a bit about sharing her last name with the former Panamanian dictator. No relation. Stand-up is new to Noriega.
It's kind of a new passion of mine, and it's really helped me cope with not having a job.
Noriega's last job was a project manager at a nonprofit that promotes green building innovations. She was laid off at the end of 2012, and since then, she's received $450 a week in unemployment benefits. Not enough to cover her living expenses, but enough to allow her to apply only for jobs in her field. And she came close to landing a few, including one that would have paid six figures.
A job like that is really, it's everything I want out of my next step career-wise, but if I don't have it, you know, that's just my reality.
Now that her benefits are gone, she's expanded her job search to places like Starbucks.
I'm not above that. You know, I mean, I would be very grateful, actually, at this point to have a job like that, especially if, you know, I don't have unemployment benefits.
Before Noriega graduated from college, she promised herself that she would never move back in with her parents, no matter how broke she was.
I also promised that I would not pull money from my pension plan, but I've gone through all the other financial resources I have.
She pulled money from her pension. She's waiting to hear back from three potential jobs, one good one, one entry-level office job, and one with Starbucks. If she doesn't have an offer by the end of this month, she'll move back to Texas to live with her parents. Labor economist Heidi Schultz says that Noriega and the other 1 million-plus who lost their benefits represent a cross-section of the labor market.
There's not something strange or uniquely unemployable or uniquely inflexible about today's long-term unemployed.
What is unique about this extension cutoff is the timing.
It has never been even close to this bad when extensions were allowed to expire in any prior recessions.
Right now, 2.6% of the labor force has been unemployed for longer than 6 months.
That is twice as high as it was any time Congress ever allowed the extensions to expire following prior recessions.
I'm David Weinberg from Marketplace.
And in China, they're building a mock-up of the Titanic. It's for a theme park in Sichuan Province, kind of like the earthquake ride at Universal Studios in Hollywood. The fake Titanic will simulate hitting an iceberg. Those who know the geography of China will be saying, wait a minute, Sichuan Province, that's nowhere near any ocean. The fake Titanic's going to be docked on the Chi River. Interesting coincidence, we noticed. The fake will cost $165 million to build. Factor in inflation as best we can, and that's very close to the real Titanic's construction price of about $180 million. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.